Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Veterans Affairs Central Iowa Healthcare System has a new director. What's her background and what's happening with the agency and with the planned Knoxville community-based outpatient clinic? Let's go in-depth with Judith Johnson-Mekeda of Des Moines. So, Judy, how long have you been director of the VA Central Iowa Healthcare System?
So I've been the director of the VA Central Iowa Healthcare System since December 15th of 2013. So roughly about 8 weeks I've been here.
Wow. So just brand new, essentially, right?
Brand new, certainly to VA Central Iowa, but not to VA. I've been with VA for almost 20 years. I started out as a critical care nurse manager at one of the VA facilities and worked my way up. I've been in eastern Kansas, Topeka and Leavenworth campus. Most recently, I came from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I was a deputy network director there for the VISN. VISN is a Veterans Integrated Service Network, VISN 23. And I served as the deputy network director, which is similar to the chief operating officer. So we're responsible for the 8 healthcare systems in Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Iowa. And those are the 5 states. And so it's 8 healthcare systems and 62 community-based outpatient clinics.
Well, there are a few people here earlier, and you shared that you feel like you grew up in VA waiting rooms. Would you tell us that story?
Oh, yes. I'd be glad to share that with you. So I did grow up in the VA, and not in the way in terms of my career, but certainly personally. My father was a patient in a VA hospital, and it was we lived about 100 miles from the VA hospital. And so we had neighbors that would drive my brother and I to the hospital to see my father. And so we didn't have any place to stay, essentially, so we slept in the waiting area. So it was my first experience with veterans helping veterans, because I found that we would get to know the veterans that were staying there, and they would feed us off their trays, give us juice and food, and took care of us and watched after us if we needed a blanket or a pillow. So it was a tremendous experience for my family to be able to be a part of that, and it helped me to understand my father's loyalty to the VA hospital and to the VA, and just see the camaraderie with between the veterans as well.
And you share that loyalty and commitment.
Oh, absolutely. You know, in terms of, you know, this is my passion now, certainly, to make sure that all veterans receive the best health care possible. You know, I saw with my father's care not necessarily the best care at times, and so it was important for me to make sure that I could serve his legacy and offer that service to other veterans.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Judith Johnson-Mekeda, director of the Veterans Affairs Central Iowa Healthcare System. And I'm sure you're aware of Knoxville's complex history, especially recent history with the VA.
Well, I am some, yes.
You're starting to get used to
yes.
it. Yes. Knoxville is very proud of its association with the VA for many, many years. And I guess I'll just say that there's still a lot of resentment about the VA closing and the damage it did to the community, and a little bit of, well, I guess quite a bit of disgruntlement about Des Moines and a lot of those services leaving. But, I mean, it's gone. I would guess for a lot of people now are ready to move on. Do you have anything to say that could help heal that wound?
Well, I certainly can respect and honor everyone's certainly feelings and perceptions towards the past history with this campus. And, you know, I need to be mindful of that and honor that. And I think, you know, certainly my approach and my commitment is to make sure that the community and the veterans understand that we're going to maintain and continue services in the Knoxville community. I think that's very important. And as today you saw one example where we had telehealth services to make sure we can expand our services, particularly specialty services, to our veteran population. And so it's critical that we develop a more comprehensive communication plan. I think it's imperative upon me to make sure I can represent the healthcare system to all community partners. You know, we cannot do it ourselves. We cannot do this alone. You know, our mission is to provide the best healthcare possible, and there's no way we can do it without our community partners.
Well, and that's part of the reason you're here today, is to reach out to the community.
And that is the reason I'm here today, to understand, to listen, to, you know, certainly I've heard some of the history associated with this campus, but it's better to have that face-to-face interaction and really talk to those individuals that have been impacted and have concerns and issues that they want to raise. You know, I want to hear that and be able to develop a plan for them and certainly have that communication with them as well.
Well, and it's a lot easier if you are a person here that we can sit and talk with rather than maybe a voice in Des Moines that may or may not call us back.
Right. I agree. Face-to-face is very, very important, and particularly with sensitive issues and important issues for the community. We need to have an upfront conversation.
All right. And so I guess based upon, you know, what we talked about before is you want to look forward.
Absolutely.
Not backward. Okay. So how do we start looking forward, do you think? I mean, how do we proceed from here? How do you proceed from here, and how do I help you get that information out?
So I appreciate that, Bob, because I think the important piece here is that the community needs to understand all the services we're currently providing, and once we have an understanding of what we can do, what VA services can be offered. That will only lend itself to have a better understanding of our strategic plan, because certainly we cannot develop our strategic plan in isolation. We need to understand the community and what services are needed. We cannot isolate ourselves with an office and say this is our direction. We need to get out there and reach out to those individuals and ask those questions. It's veteran-centric care. How do you develop that if you don't involve the veterans and the community?
And there are lots of veterans here. I heard you say, I think, or somebody else say, over 2,500 veterans.
Right. We saw about 2,567 veterans last year at this community-based outpatient clinic in Knoxville.
That's a lot of patients.
There were over 25,000 encounters.
25,000 encounters, mm-hmm. meaning appointments,
visits, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you think you can do more than that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I think through as you witnessed through the telehealth presentation, there's more opportunities for being able to reach out and increase our visits and make sure that we can meet. You know, we're offering additional services here. We have a podiatry clinic. We have audiology services. So we're continually expanding our services to this clinic.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Judith Johnson Makeda, Director of the Veterans Affairs Central Iowa Healthcare System.
You want to expand the services you want to take, and this came about in a separate interview I did regarding telemedicine, but you want to be in veterans' homes too, helping them with their healthcare.
Absolutely, because that is also part of it when you look at veteran-centered care, where you develop a personalized patient healthcare plan that really incorporates their needs. You know, oftentimes we think we know what's best for veterans, but I think this really drives us to really critically look at what will best serve the veterans' healthcare needs. And this is one tool. Certainly if they can seek care and they can have care provided within their home and they desire that, I think that's an opportunity we need to provide them.
Okay, and so I guess, what are the components of the system? You're concerned with Des Moines, Knoxville. What's the rest of your territory?
So there's four other community-based outpatient clinics in Mason City, Fort Dodge, Carroll, and Marshalltown.
Okay, and they're all different communities, all have different needs, all the veterans have different needs. And so do you have to tailor it to every community and every batch of veterans, or all the veterans pretty much the same, have the same needs in the different areas, or is there differences?
You know, I think my message is consistent in any community that I'm in, certainly, that we need to get out there and really understand veterans' needs and understand how we can partner with the communities. Certainly there are individual differences with each community, but I think every community that I've been in, they fully support our mission to provide the best care possible to veterans. And so that's key. You know, that's a common theme, and that really helps make my job easier when we're able to support what we're doing, our services, and getting the word out on what we do.
Mm-hmm. And so how are you going to work to bring in the Knoxville community?
Well, I don't necessarily have a formal plan developed yet, but I'm working on that. I think once I learned a little bit more about the history, you know, I've already talked with some community leaders. We're looking at setting up some meetings. But I think, you know, for me, the most important piece was to understand the community-based outpatient clinic. What do we do here? What do we provide? Get to learn the staff, the services, just seeing where the campus is situated and the impact on the community. I mean, that's been my primary objective at this time.
Now, the question everybody wants to know the answer to is, what's happening with the CBOC lease? Can
right.
you tell us something on that? Can you give us first, it would be great if you could just tell me what's been decided, but you're not going to be able to do that.
No, I'm not. I won't be able to, no.
Okay.
But certainly I do want to let everyone know that we are continuing with the CBOC lease for this community. There was a moratorium on leases within VA. I know that many of our community partners were aware of that. That has been lifted. We can proceed with the lease, so we are proceeding, and that's going through our contracting procedures right now. So in terms of any sort of a time of announcement of the award of the contract, I would only be speculating at this time, to be honest. So hopefully soon.
Yeah, we've been told dates before.
And that's what I heard as well.
All right. So, but you don't know. This is happening at another level.
Yes.
Where is that happening? Are the people making these decisions, do they actually know the on-the-ground impact it has for people?
Well, certainly when you look at, when you contract, when you develop a lease within a community, we in the VA, and particularly VA Central Iowa, we cannot be involved in that process, particularly because there are specific contracting rules and regulations associated with procuring a lease. And so we certainly identify our specifications, what we need within the community, and talk a little bit about that. But then those individuals are charged with formulating the contract.
Okay. And so it's somebody in Washington making these decisions?
We have someone local here as well within the Des Moines area that's working on it.
Okay, so they at least have been here and know.
Yes, they know the community, yes. They've conducted site visits here, and yes.
Do they know how frustrated the community is about
this? Well, I can't speak to that. I don't know.
But, frustration doesn't do a lot of good, does it? I mean, you just have to go through the process.
But I can recognize frustration, and I want to acknowledge that on individuals' parts. And I think that's part of why, you know, I need to get out and make sure I communicate with individuals and community partners, because, you know, and acknowledge that what has happened in the past, but reassure everyone that moving forward we're going to maintain open communication and make sure we can make sure everyone's informed and involved.
I'm just guessing that when the decision is made about the new CBOC, that it'll be a state-of-the-art facility.
Absolutely. Now we within VA, we have a national team that looks at how we design our clinics to make sure that they align with our patient-aligned care teams. I don't know if you've heard of PACT teams, but these are actually a core group that includes a provider, a nurse, and a healthcare technician that provides more of a team-based approach to the veterans' care. And so we're going to make sure that the design of the clinic assures a good patient flow throughout the clinic so that they're not, you know, they flow through the clinic and there's not any sort of gaps in care. And it makes sense that certainly we provide the services that they need.
When the decision is made, hopefully very soon, will you call me so we can let our listeners know?
Absolutely. I would be more than happy to.
Thanks to Judith Johnson-Mekita for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.